We are doing Megillat Antiochus. We had learned last time how the Greeks had conquered the temple, and we had learned how Antiochus had sent Nicanor to take over Jerusalem, and they defiled the temple, and they slaughtered a pig, and they wanted Yochanan ben Matityahu, the high priest, to take part in all this, and he asked for a private audience with Nicanor, the chief general. When everyone was gone, he assassinated Nicanor, led a rebellion which was victorious. And when Antiochus heard how his second-in-command, Nicanor, was killed, he called in Bagris, who was also a very high officer of his, and he said, let's go and ensure our wealth. And we explained how if this rebellion succeeded, then there was a threat that other rebellions would follow in the Greek Empire. We did not discuss, but in Josephus he actually mentions that that was part of the calculation that brought about the destruction of the Second Temple. They believed that the time was ripe, that the Roman Empire had rebellions brewing in other places, and that was why the Jews thought they'd get away with their rebellion, which ultimately led the Romans to send a legion, which destroyed the temple. But at any rate, the Greek fear that this rebellion left unchecked would threaten their empire might have been very valid. So, as Bagris Arasha, we're on page 28, then Bagris the wicked, v'chol machnotav, with all of his camps, ba'u l'Yerushalayim, they ascended to Jerusalem. Vayarog bahem hereg rav, he killed multitudes. Vayigzor gezera gemura al Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, Umila. He decreed definitively that the Jews would not observe Shabbat. Shabbat is where we declare that God created the world. That's why we are productive for 6 days and on the seventh day we rest. It's a reflection that Hashem, who created the world, commanded us to rest on this day. Rosh Chodesh, which shows our unique task in this world. We sanctify the times, we sanctify the month. So Rosh Chodesh shows our responsibility, and Brit Milah is the circumcision which reflects within our body the covenant we have with God. This is a play on words from a verse in Daniel. When the king's decree was being executed, Matze'u ish asher malet beno, the Greeks found a person who circumcised his son. Ve'viu ha'ish ve'ishto, they brought in the man with his wife. Ve'itlu otam keneged hayeled, they hung them in front of their son. Ve'gam isha asher yalda ben acharei mot ba'ala, there was a widow, a woman whose husband was dead, who circumcised her son, v'tamal oto lishmona yamin, v'tal al chomat Yerushalayim, she ascended the wall of Jerusalem, uvna hamahul biyada, holding her son that had been circumcised in her hand, v'tan v'tomar, and she called out and said, lecha omrim Bagris harasha, now we're going to talk to you, Bagris, the wicked general. Atem choshvim, you guys think, levatel meitanu habrit asher koret imanu. You think you're going to annul the covenant that God made with us. Brit avotenu lo nevatel mimenu. The covenant of our forefathers will never be severed from upon us. Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh umila, mibenei vaneinu lo yusar. The keeping of Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and circumcisions will never be removed from our children and grandchildren. Vatapelet bina la'aretz vatipol acharav. She realized the Greeks were going to kill her, so she and her son fell to their death. Vayamutu shnem keechad, they both died in unison. Before we continue, it says in Halacha that when we say Shema, so we say, "Vavta et Hashem lokecha." You should love Hashem, your God, Bechol levavcha uvechol nafshecha, with all your heart and all your soul. And so from there we derive, you have to be willing to give up your life to maintain your love to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we know we have specific mitzvot for which we have to be willing to give up our lives. And we know that when there's a decree called Shemad, a decree with the sole intention of getting the Jews to turn on the Torah, so then we have to be willing to fight it to the death and fight it on every point, even on the smallest point. When I read this, I ask myself, what would I do? Would we be able to stand up to such a challenge? Would we be able to say, even though they're telling me to stop keeping Torah and mitzvot, I'm going to continue? A child asked me last week, were people permitted in the Holocaust to eat non-kosher food? A child asked me. A child was reading a story about the Holocaust, and the child came, I don't remember if it was a boy or a girl, they asked me, why wasn't it Shmad? So I said that I think it wasn't Shmad, because Shmad is, the enemy wants to convince us to convert. Here, even if a Jew would say, I'm not keeping any Torah, if a Jew would say, I'll do whatever you want, they'd still kill him. The trainloads to Auschwitz were filled with people who weren't observing Torah and mitzvot. So they wanted to kill the Jewish people. To say it's Shmad, their intention wasn't to get us to stop keeping Torah. Their intention was not to have Jews in the world. So that's why I said to the child, I think that's why it was permissible for people to eat non-kosher food during the time of the Holocaust, because they had to keep themselves alive. It wasn't that idea of Shmad. It was a war they tried to kill us out. But the idea wasn't to get us to convert to anything. Under Shmad, when they make decrees because they want us to convert, they want us to stop keeping Torah, there we have to fight it to the death. Here, that wasn't the idea. But again, we have to ask ourselves, okay, we read these stories about people who said, I'm not giving in. And thanks to them, we're still around. You know, it's very convenient to say, let someone else fight the battle. But the people who fought the battle are the people who ultimately, thanks to them, there's a Jewish people today. Remember, when the Jews left Egypt, 4 out of 5 Jews said, I'd rather stick around here. And those Jews did not make it out of Egypt. So there's always the question, who's going to hold the banner? Who's going to fight the battle in the name of Hashem? And as we read these stories, part of the message for our generation is that sometimes you have to stand up for what's right. Often you have to stand up for what's right. We're peaceful people, but that doesn't mean we let people trample on us. We have to stand up for what's right. Yes?
There were also challenges like this, many I'm sure in the Holocaust, about having to make this type of decision. For example, like a German soldier would tell you, okay, you must rip this Torah up now, or I'm going to kill you, for example. And again, you have a dilemma.
So we
similar concept again. Like,
the question again is, are they doing it to get people to stop observing Torah? Then we have to give up our life for it. If they're just trying to torment us, so then, okay, so to be humiliated is to be humiliated. You don't have to give up your life and not be humiliated. Yes?
It also depends in front of how many people this is done.
Okay.
Because there's a story from the Holocaust. Unfortunately, I don't remember the name of the rabbi, and I don't remember the story of the grandchild, but to make it short, the grandchild is Rizimal, and sees a picture on the wall of a rabbi with big beard and everything, and he asks, who's that? We're not that observant. Who's that? That's your grandfather. My grandfather. What happened to him? He died in the Shoah, and then she tells the Shoah that the soldier, that the German soldier, officer, takes him in front of all the rest of the group and says, you have to eat this plate of pork. And he says, I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. Because he's in front of all, he's in front of a lot of people, then you cannot eat it. That's a ha-ha about it. And then the German says, you know, I'm going to kill you if you're not going to eat this pork. I'm not going to eat it. You don't understand. We lost the war. The Russians are going to be here within hours. It's over. You just eat it. I'm not going to do it. And then he shot him. Okay. The child grows up, and he gets member of, I don't remember which organization that against religious people, and he goes also to New York, and he goes to this hot dog stand, he's about to eat the hot dog, and then he remembers the story of his grandfather, and then he becomes Balchua. And this person lives in Renan and wrote a book about it, but I don't remember his name.
Okay.
But if you want the name, you have to ask the rabbi of the show shift, Israel, Daniel Bella, because he's the one who told the story.
But it's against halakha to respond like for
We can learn these halachot. Remind me if you want to discuss it Thursday night. We can do it then. Ve'rabim mibnei Yisrael. Let's move forward. Ve'rabim mibnei Yisrael asher yu simken ba'yamim ahim ve'lo eferu et brit avotam. So we conclude this chapter. There were many Jews who were willing to give up their lives, but not give up on the covenant of their forefathers. And so the Greeks have taken over again. So at that time, the Jews said to one another, "Bo v'nelech v'nishbot b'me'ara. Let's go keep Shabbos in the caves." Now, some of you will remember that recently in our Ein Yaakov class, we've been studying about the Jews in the caves. If you recall, we spoke about the sandal ha-mesumar. The Mishnah in Tractate Shabbos discusses those sandals that they wore that had nails, and the story of where many Jews in the caves ended up dying from that sandal with nails in it. So we mentioned then that that might have been during the Greek persecution. The Talmud doesn't tell us exactly during which persecution this happened. So here we're taught that the Jews said, let's go to the caves to keep Shabbos, penechalel et yom haShabbat, because if we stick around here, we might end up desecrating Shabbos. Vayalshinu aleihem lifnei vagris. And other Jews told on them before the general Bagris. Now that's another challenge we've had. The Medrash says, the verse in Yeshaya says, Meharsayich umachrivayich, those who destroy you, mimeich yetzeyu, will leave you. So the literal meaning of the verse is that those who destroy Jerusalem will leave Jerusalem. The enemies will leave. And our sages said there's another interpretation to the verse. Mimeich yetzeyu. Your own destroyers will come out from within you. And that throughout our history, one of our greatest challenges were those who came from within to destroy the Jewish people. That's an alternate understanding of that verse in Yeshaya. As Bagri Sarasha shalach anashim chamushim. So after Jews told on the other Jews, so Bagris, the wicked, sent men who were armed. Vayavo vayishvu al pi ha-me'ara. They came and sat by the entrance to the cave. Vayomru aleihem. They said to the Jews inside the cave, Yehudim, Jews, tse'u eleinu, come out to us. Ichlu milachmenu, eat our bread. Ushtu mi'einenu, and drink our wine. Uma'aseinu tiyu osim. Why don't you just behave like us? Don't you realize that the Greeks have invented a new type of rule where there's equal treatment of every citizen? You guys will get fair treatment. Why don't you just become like us? The whole fight is a philosophical fight, as we discussed. The argument that the Greeks had with us was, be like us. It wasn't like the previous oppressors. The Greek oppression was a philosophical one. Vayanu b'nei Yisrael vayomeru ish l'reyeyu. So the Jews said to one another, Zocherim anachnu asher tzivanu Hashem al har Sinai. We remember that God commanded us on Mount Sinai, Sheshet yamim te'avod ve'asita kol melachtecha. 6 days you work and you do everything you have to. Uvayom ha-shevi'i tishbot. And on the seventh day you should rest. So how can we go out there and be like the Greeks? And we'll pick up here, Bezachim, tomorrow night.